Almost every week there are a few murders, unfortunately, and we've all been a victim of this crime, and police are not doing anything about it, as you can imagine.
So Palestinian writer and activist Rami Younis, co-director of LID, originally from the city of LID. We were also joined by his co-director, Sarah Emma Friedland. You can watch our full-length interview with them at democracynow.org. LID is currently playing at the D.C. TV Firehouse Cinema in New York, showings followed by Q&A with the filmmakers. The film will also be shown around the country and around the world, including the Houston Palestine Film Festival next month, the Chicago Palestine Film Festival, at the Lemley Theater in Los Angeles, and Unseen Cinema in Nairobi, Kenya. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Shrifa Bokadous, Messiah Rhodes, Nermin Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Tamaria Studio, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, Hannah Lelius. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grand, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, Dennis McCormick, Matt Ely, Anna Osbeck. I'm Amy Goodman for another edition of Democracy Now!
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Postmodernism, a reaction against the ideas and values of modernism. Avant-garde, new, unusual, and experimental ideas. KBOO, a community radio station that supports both. Join us in our mission to push the status quo by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give between now and May 25th to donate and help us reach our $60,000 spring membership drive goal.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What is this old-time music?
I feel so proud of myself.
It seems kind of worthless.
Why does it have to make so much noise?
It feels very hipster.
That's the worst thing.
Look at how humanity has used their intellect.
Self-help radio, a different theme explored with music and talk every week. Tuesdays, midnight to 3 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Hey, yo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. And stay tuned, 9 o'clock for All Mall Variety Hour, 10 o'clock Locus Focus, and 11 First Voices Radio. And next, More Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio Community Station, KBOO FM. And this is Cecil Prescott, and I welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in to your community radio station. This is KBOO, and as you might have heard, we are right now in our spring membership drive, focusing on the postmodern, the avant-garde, the alternative. Help us to reach our goal of $60,000 before May 25th. You can go to KBOOFM/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I will be your host this hour for More Talk Radio. Today is the 29th of April, 2024. and we all like to acknowledge special days, special events in the midst of holidays and events and things that you can do. And we are slowly approaching a very special day which means so much to so many people. And that is May Day, the 1st of May, International Workers' Solidarity Day, the day in which we recognize, remember, get inspired, and work for workers' rights. And so, Portland has a special relationship with May Day over the history. For many decades, for close to 100 years, Portland has been a place where workers have organized in many different industries in many different ways. And that will continue as our economy continues to change and as people, as workers, continue to be confronted by something that workers have always faced historically, and that is attempts to exploit their labor and their work. And so this Labor Day, well, it is a Labor Day, but historically known as May Day, Workers, International Workers' Rights Day, solidarity, in which people will continue to organize and do things to honor May Day. So one thing I solicit you is, how do you plan to honor May Day? Is it something special for you, or is it not? I'm interested in knowing what you are doing. Well, as we continue our program this morning, we will touch upon several points that people might want to talk about, to reflect on, and to gather their thoughts. It's an opportunity to share with your neighbors and your friends, and maybe those who are not your friends, but will be your friends as you talk and share. So what does May Day, what is May Day for you, and how do you plan to honor May Day? Give us a call. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And again, I'm Cecil Prescott, and I will be your host, your guide, your pilot, your nice person here to be with you this morning. So what is May Day? How do you celebrate May Day, and what does it mean to you? It's interesting, as you reflect about May Day, think about May Day, what it means. Our nation, our world indeed, is surrounded by many concerns right now. And as we are aware, anyone who is vaguely familiar with what's going on in the world around, here in the United States, here on campuses, there have been student protests. And it seems to be a spring ritual, student protests. But this protest this season, a lot of the rallies, encampments, it's around Gaza and Israel, and the college campuses' relationships with defense industries, and whether or not they are participating through their investment in the genocide of a population. There has been much that has been seen and talked about, and we'll talk more about that today. And in the days ahead. But in the meantime, I want to remind you that our numbers here are 503-231-8187. What is May Day? How do you honor, celebrate, continue the work? Let's hear what you have to say. Let's go to a caller right now. Good morning. Thank you for calling. Hello, caller, are you there? We're having a little bit of problem. And it's a challenge with our phone system, but continue to hang in there with us as we try to work this out. You're listening to KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. This is More Talk Radio, and we are trying to get connected with you and with one another. We'll try that again.
Can you hear me, Cecil?
Yes, I can hear you. Wow. Okay.
Oh, I know, technology, right?
It's amazing. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? And say hi to all your listeners. I wanted to answer your question about May Day. I think I will reflect on the fact that unions are now getting appreciated for all the work they can do for workers. And we're now, because before, unions were demonized, and now people are starting to give them respect. Workers are starting to take a second look. Why is my voice not being heard by management? Maybe we should get a union. So I like last summer was the summer of unions, and there was a recent unionization of an auto plant in the Deep South. So I believe.
Oops, I'll call it Lenita. As I'm not sure. Well, I will speak for her. She believes that this is a special moment, a Kairos moment, where workers are organizing. And what she was saying, that last summer there was a surge in union organizing, and recently, in recent weeks, we saw the certification of union in auto plant in the Deep South. And this might be a workers' moment. So this May Day, as every May Day, we ought to celebrate and honor the workers and their struggles and what they are doing. What are you doing in your workplace? How are your concerns being met? How are you organizing? Are you comfortable with your employer? Are you comfortable with the hours you work? Do you have enough hours to work? What is happening in your workplace? How are workers being organized? And as our caller reminded us, in many places in this nation, workers are organizing. And an exciting thing for me is if we reflect on the organizing of the auto plant in the South last week in certification of that union, the governors of many of the states in the Deep South, and most of them were red states, Republican governors, came out and uttered the usual inaccurate words about organizing and saying, making a pitch to workers, don't organize. Well, organizers saw through that, workers saw through that, and people saw the need to gather, to unite with other workers, and to decide this is what we need to do. So people are organizing, and people in unions, in workplaces, in places where people said that is not possible. So we see this new surge in workers, in barista workers, in auto workers, in workers in fast food industries. People all over are organizing. What is May Day for you, and what does it mean? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Solidarity forever? Is it a possibility? Let's go to our next caller, Santiago. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I think for May Day, I think the most important thing to remember is that, you know, unions are in are very heavily invested in socialism, socialist causes, and I think a lot of that gets lost in the shuffle because so many of the larger unions had have sold out to liberal interests, you know, so it becomes more about appeasing the businesses, you know, about, you know, what type of scraps we can get if we behave ourselves rather than understanding that we as laborers create the value and have the power. And I think more importantly, in the days pre-civil rights, you know, unions were a great way for black and brown folks to gain a foothold of power in a society that inherently demonizes us.
Yes.
You know, some of the very first solid unions in the South were like the were black unions. You know, a lot of them, like a lot of people talk about the unions in Appalachia. You know, when they, you know, especially when a lot of white leftists talk about, you know, socialist solidarity, they talk about a lot of those unions in Appalachia, but a lot of those, especially the white unions in the South, they were initially black unions for predominantly. And then once the unions started gaining power, they a lot of the white folks who got involved in the unions eventually pushed a lot of the black members out.
Sure.
So, you know, so I think it's, you know, while I definitely promote the class war over culture war, we also have to understand there's a lot of pillars that we need to demolish in that in the process of creating class war against the rich, you know, the class solidarity. And we have to dismantle racism, but we still have to be able to face it for what it is. Not just racism, but white supremacy in particular, you know.
Certainly. I think that's a really important observation you made in terms of talking about the development of unions and how the pushing down, pushing aside of in the South and many places of black and brown workers. Could you say something about a little bit more about the legacy of white supremacy and how it had a grasp on unions and how it, rather than building worker solidarity across racial barriers that initially, for many unions, it was a way in which to maintain segregation and lack of economic opportunities for folks who were not part of the majority culture.
Well, and here it's super simple, but a lot of I find a lot of especially white liberals, white radicals don't like to confront this, but when it comes to power dynamics, you not only have like non-white versus white, but you also have the idea of colonizer versus colonized. And I think it really comes down to colonizer versus colonized, because what happens with the union structure is that it attempts to flatten those dynamics. And like they say, you know, privileged people who start to become equal with the oppressed, it feels like oppression to them. And so it's this idea, and it's funny because white supremacy, regardless of like how it's explained, it's not just born of skin color, but it's also born, it's an ideology. Because there's a lot of black and brown folks who are walking around with internalized white supremacy in how they feel about themselves and how they present themselves. That's why certain words are so important. When you say African American versus black, or Chicano versus Latino, black and Chicano come from the cultures with which the oppressed have borne that name, you know, whereas like African American, Mexican American, Latino, those are all names given to us by the colonizers. So when we seek to name ourselves, we're trying to shirk off that internalized white supremacy. So when we start talking about the flattening of power dynamics, which is what a union attempts to do, and when it's doing it well, it really does that. It flattens that colonized power dynamic.
Power dynamics,
and I think James Baldwin put it the best, is that like when the white folks when they lose the ability to hate, when they lose the ability to be angry, because, you know, if all things were really equal, like, what they're faced with is just internal sadness.
Certainly.
I think that I think that comes from all of us, that this culture has stripped us, whether we're a part of the colonized class or not, the colonizer class or not, has stripped us of our ability to be able to imagine ourselves outside of a 40-hour work week or a 60-hour work week or an 80-hour work week. You know, it's stripped us of our ability to dream. It's stripped us of our ability to, like, find meaning in ourselves that isn't connected to making a dollar. And so that hate that a lot of those, you know, that especially a lot of Trump folks exhibit, you know, with that hate keeps them going. That anger, that hate keeps them going. And so if they don't have that hate, it's like, well, what do they have left?
Certainly.
Like, they have to, you're left only with self-reflection and self-examination. And so I think that that's why a lot of these unions, you know, especially ones that have predominantly black and brown roots, the system seeks to be able to co-opt it, because if it doesn't, then it throws into question the very fabric that kind of ties what we think of as American society together, and especially as we're seeing now, you know, with student protests and unionizations. You can see that there is a clarion call coming deep from within that there is something wrong, even if we can't name it.
Okay.
You know?
This is really great conversation and analysis, Santiago, and thank you for what you're saying. Let's hear what other folks have to say and your observation about how people organize. Reminds me of a quote that's attributed to Zora Neale Hurston, who said, "All your skin folks ain't kin folk."
Amen to that. You can say that again, man.
Right. Hey, thank you so much for calling. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 29th of April. And our numbers are 503-231-8187, a couple of days before May Day. We're going to talk more about May Day, its origin, what people are doing, and make a connection with some of the actions that are taking place right now. But let's go to our next caller and hear what they have to say. Good morning, and thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome. Interesting topic. Yes, I belong to a union myself, and I love it. What the union has done for us has been quite amazing. Mm-hmm. It's SEIU, Service Workers Union. Uh-huh. Anyway, I'd like to make a point which is different from what Santiago was saying, but I think it's related. We tend to stereotype each other. Hmm. And Barbara Kingsolver wrote a book called Demon Copperhead, which is about Appalachia. Mm-hmm. And she made an interesting point that I had never known before. There was a coal miner's strike, and, you know, the coal miners really had a rotten deal. I don't know whether this was during the 30s or the 40s, but the strike was extremely violent. And it was, you know, the union busting was outrageous. And a lot of the miners were socialists and communists. Mm-hmm. And in order to express their solidarity, they wore red bandanas on their necks to show that they were united. Mm-hmm. And as you know, red is the color that's associated with Marxism. And these people were known as the rednecks. And that's where the term comes from.
Ah.
I didn't know that. That term has been appropriated and used in different ways, but the original rednecks were union organizers who were socialistic, and it was a very bloody fight, I understand. A lot of people got killed, and the coal miners, of course, were working in the absolute worst condition. I think we do have to think about what we do for money. And that involves things on a whole level. I mean, the whole idea of celebrity and celebrity worship,
Yes.
And power, it is related to how much money that you've got.
Well,
and we really have to look at that. We're all about the money, all about the money. And we sell our hours and we're all doing time, just like the prisoners are doing time in a way. And yet work is good. I mean, I like my work. So we do have to look at that. Santiago is right. Think about the whole thing of what are we doing and why and what kind of contributions we're making to society. But I just wanted to make that point about the rednecks because it's something that I never knew before.
That's interesting because I had not heard of that. I'd heard another story about, you know, the origins of the term redneck, but I'm going to look that up. But thank you so much for calling and sharing the information that sometimes we lose and that we forget in terms, in this case, in terms of who organized, how they organized, and the impact they had on people's life. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Today is the 29th of April, 2024. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I have the pleasure to be your host this morning. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began our conversation this morning by talking about May Day and the origins and what we are doing. There are some other issues we will also touch upon, but first, I think I would like to hear what our next caller has to say. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. This is Tawasi. I'm calling in about unions today.
Yes.
You know, we have a really strong union movement here in Portland, whether it's the teachers or Starbucks employees or the workers at New Seasons Market,
mm-hmm.
the union had. And you know, as many great examples of unions as there are, we also have some of the worst unions. The Portland Police Association being top among them. So, you know, unions wield enormous power when bargaining in government. And if you remember, the Police Association was able to bargain their contract in secret.
Yes.
So, you know, we talk about secret police. These guys literally bargained their contract behind closed doors so the public couldn't even know what our public servants were agreeing to. So, you know, we need to really, really draw a distinction between unions that are beneficial and unions that function as a, you know, a wall between accountability and the people who the quote, workers are serving.
That's excellent observation. Because I think it's easy to paint with a broad stroke and without any careful analysis. So when I thank you for identifying how different industries might organize and how they might be tools of oppression rather than solidarity and liberation. And your analysis of the Portland Police Union is very right on. Thank you. Yeah, continue if you have.
Yeah, just one more problematic union. You know, unions can be a tool for inclusive society and uplifting the common good, but they can also work as a tool of white terror.
Yes.
So in the example of the Portland Fire Bureau, their union employs 90% white people and it employs 80% men. And the reason for that is because they have such strong union solidarity among their ranks, they're able to completely lock out people who aren't, you know, desirable by the old
hate-filled
guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's important if we're going to employ unions as the public, that they're only paid if they're accountable. Yeah. And as soon as the unions that are working for the public stop being accountable, that we shouldn't renew their contract.
Good thoughts. Good reflections.
Thanks for the time, and thanks for everything KBOO does. I just love you guys so much.
Hey, thank you, Tuasi. And again, thank you for your observations. Very right on. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began our conversation this morning by talking about the fact that today is the 29th of April, which means in a couple of days it will be, okay, cue the drum roll, it will be May Day. And what is May Day? What is the importance of May Day? And how do we use this day or any day to work for the establishment of a more just society? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. A few callers have shared with some very insightful observations. Our last caller, Tuasi, was making some observations about unions and how we should be very careful about how we speak about unions and different industries. Their observation of particularly the Portland Police Union and Portland Fire Union, and how they might have been used not to be inclusive or to expand the rights of all, but how they have been used to create a society which is not a society which is inclusive for all people. So we always need to be careful and to continue to pursue justice, because it is so easy, as several of our callers said, and an earlier caller also mentioned, that unions or any organizations can be used, misused, or turned over from their original mission. It is so important, especially when people and organizations gain power, to remain true to their cause and, as our callers reminded us, to remain accountable. How often, speaking of unions or any organizations, maybe your local nonprofit, your neighborhood association, your pet owner group, anytime people gather together, they might come with a honest, pure motive, but so often they can be corrupted or just turned off from their original mission, and so they become, if not become ineffective, or perhaps even oppose their mission by their actions. So any organization need, as our last caller reminded us, need to be held accountable, and we need to ask ourselves, are we remaining true to our principles, true to our core? And also, is it time to examine our principles and our core issues? And is it time for a change? Those are some of the issues that we are facing as a society as we approach May Day. So give us a call and let us know about your thoughts about May Day. Is it important to you? How do you honor it? How do you work for workers' rights where you are? And how are you able to show gratitude? Well, we mentioned May Day, and an earlier caller also mentioned the number of protests that are taking place on college campuses throughout the nations. which calls to mind for older generation, an earlier era, approached student protests, going back half a century ago. And the U.S. students' protests concerning Gaza and Israel recalls the protests of students on campuses during Vietnam, during the movement to reduce nuclear weapons, and also in terms of anti-apartheid activism and Black Lives Matter protests. These continue, and it is not, people should be aware that these are not in isolation. May 4th, 1970 is a date which many older folks remember. That was the date in which campus protesters were shot and killed on Kent State University in Kent, Ohio. 11 days later at the Jackson State University, May 15th, 1970, in Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi, city and state police confronted a group of students outside a campus dormitory, and police fired at opened fire, killing two students and injuring 12. These events, Kent State killing and the killing at Jackson State 11 days, captured the nation's attention. And so as we think about student protests in this era, we might reflect about student protests in earlier eras and what we can learn, what lessons we have learned, and what things are different today. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil Prescott. This is More Talk Radio. Let's hear what Edie has to say. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So I wanted to let folks know a little bit about the history of May Day, but more importantly, what we can be doing today, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes.
Solidarity with workers and the idealism of May Day. So workers at Portland State University are being oppressed and denied free speech and not allowed to do intellectual integrity and independence because Portland State University is investing in profitable war surveillance genocide industry, fossil fuel industry, mm-hmm. and then some of the money that they put into Boeing, for example, Boeing gives back to bribe folks so that engineers are taught to be white-centered, men-centered, cis-centered, and have a false belief of science and engineering, a false belief of objective and then are so having a top-down mentality. Okay. So they're looking at profit instead of people's safety. Okay. And so workers at Boeing are unsafe, are being bullied, and have an attitude of civilian and military contracts making very unsafe weapons. Boeing is the third largest weapons manufacturer in the world. So if we want to protect workers' rights, at the college level, manufacturing level, or the intelligence IT level, then we want to be in solidarity today, 4 o'clock at Portland State University, outside of the library in the Portland South Park blocks. And if we want to be in solidarity with workers across Palestine, whose hospitals, whose schools, whose water treatment plants, whose sewage, whose farms, whose stores, are all being demolished and poisoned and the land destroyed so there can be fracking for methane under Gaza and in the Mediterranean off the Gaza coast so they can increase climate change, so they can worsen workers' rights here in Portland because of the increased heat, drought, fires, of crop change, crop failures, and increased cost of insurance, so increased homelessness, and increased terror of workers that they may not fight their work, their employers, because they don't want to be homeless too, and so they lose their will to fight, the ability to fight for workers' rights. Now, Wednesday, May 1st, we're going to have a series of activities around Portland that people can join in, and I'd like folks to know about when and where they are, and also to look at the Jobs with Justice website. So when it comes to Palestinian rights, May Day, Workers Defend Palestinian Resistance, it's internationally going on. They'll start at 4 o'clock. They're organizing as speakers at the Southwest Market Street and Southwest Park blocks. Earlier on May Day, this Wednesday in Portland, Oregon, from Picoon, there'll be immigration and farm workers' rights activities. There will be a march and a rally starting at 1 p.m. at Lonsdale Square, Fight for Women's and Immigrants' Rights. Then again at... from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, there'll be a May Day info picket and rally at the International Picket Providence Willamette Falls Community Center on 519 15th Street, Oregon City. And then there will also be May Day's Workers of the World Uniting at from 3:30 to 4:30 at PCC Cascade Student Building. So there are a lot of ways in which we can see how oppression of workers, so indigenous, black, immigrant, women, etc., sex workers, is then resulting in harm to the entire society and the entire ecosystem. So to bring justice for any, we can stand up for justice for all and vice versa for those who are most marginalized.
Thank you so much, Edie, for sharing all this valuable information. This is really great. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Look at justice, Jobs with Justice.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so, thank you for pointing out those activities, referring people to Job with Justice PDX for the website to see some of these demonstration and actions that are taking place. And today at 4 p.m. at PSU Park Blocks, there's a solidarity with Palestine and to demand PSU cut ties with Boeing. There are a list of cutting ties with Boeing. There is a list of 10 demands, 11 demands that they will have for the administration. So that's today at PSU Park Blocks, 4 p.m. Student be in solidarity with Portland State's students who are calling for cutting ties with Boeing. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I want to thank you for listening and want to encourage you to continue to support KBOO membership drive today and every day, because we are your avant-garde alternative and postmodern radio station. And you can support by just going to kboo.fm/give to become a monthly sustaining member. Thank you so much. And this is More Talk Radio on your community radio station. And we are talking about May Day and all things associated with May Day. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's hear what Joan has to say. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm coming back on just to clarify a point, and I know this is a little irregular. I'm the person that was talking about the origin of the term redneck, yes. And what I didn't know was Barbara Kingsolver's point, which was because the coal companies were really worried about these miners organizing, they put out the word that these rednecks were just a bunch of ignorant hillbillies and therefore shouldn't be trusted, or, you know, blaming all the violence on them, saying they're just a bunch of, you know, people who don't know anything. And that's how the term came to be used as a term of aspersion, where in the novel it's taken up as a kind of heroism that these people were standing up for the rights of everyone in that area. And was being a redneck was something to be proud of, because it represented a kind of heroism rather than being used as a put-down. The term became associated with, you know, ignorant, violent people, and was used as a way of putting these people down so that they wouldn't be taken seriously.
Right.
And to lessen their power. And I wanted to make that point. Barbara Kingsolver's point.
Could you also say again the name of the book?
It was called Demon Copperhead, and it's a book about a young Appalachian guy who's raised in the foster care system, and it talks about the opioid crisis in Appalachia and a whole bunch of other things which are extremely interesting.
Okay.
But in there was the history of coal miner organization.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Great book.
Okay. It's another book I'm going to have to put on my shelf. Okay. Thank you so much.
Let me clarify. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this is More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we are talking about all things May Day. All things May Day. And May Day, its history, its origin, why it is important, and how we can reclaim, honor, respect, and as a caller reminded us, just be active and organize. Throughout your community, there are ways in which people are organizing. It may be in your local supermarket. It may be baristas. Maybe students. It may be daycare workers. It may be factory workers. There are people who are finding their voice, who are reclaiming their power, and who are building community to create a stronger and healthier society for all. That's, I think, is the essence of May Day and why it is so important for us to continue to organize in our communities, to allow voices to be heard, to allow all peoples to have a say in the creation of a just society for all. There is so much to do, and we have so much work. And there's enough work for all of us. But in the meantime, why we are doing this, it is also a time to be grateful and to be joyful. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like to be around people who are not joyful or full of life. Now, joy doesn't mean that you walk around with a, you know, silly smile on your face necessarily, but it means an appreciation of life and the opportunity for life and what life means. So as we organize and as we create society, let us be very intentional in creating a society, a world which, you know, we enjoy. And the process in itself should be joyful, meaningful, transformative. So the work we do, the labor that's involved in creating a just society, is hard work. Indeed it is. But if we are doing it properly, I believe we are creating a stronger society, building stronger bonds, and allowing people not only to find and speak their truths, but also to build collective power and justice and love. That is what I think of when I think of May Day. And yeah, when I was younger, you know, we did do the maypole thing, but I think that just another illustration of why, you know, May Day is a time of building solidarity, of people coming together, and of workers organizing. So how are you organizing? What does Workers' Rights Day, May Day, mean to you? And I had one last thing I wanted to talk about this morning. We may not have enough time, but we will in coming weeks. But just to go over again what we've talked about, one is May Day is coming up in a couple of days. How do you plan to honor May Day? Edie, so generous in sharing what they had to say about where people are organizing throughout our town. And they suggested to look at Job with Justice websites to see of actions that are taking place throughout our region. That may be one thing you can do. Edie also reminded us of an action that's taken place at Portland State University Park Blocks today at 4 p.m. in solidarity with students. They have 11 demands that they are placing before their administration, so you can be in solidarity with those who are there. Those are a couple of options, but there are much, much more. And let's hear what Wade has to say right now. Good morning.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi.
You were talking about unions before, and I simply came across a book called Babbitt by Sinclair Lewis.
Oh, yes.
It has an unassuming title, but it's about a guy, George Babbitt, who totally believes in the American way and is wearing himself and his family out. I won't do a complete synopsis, but there's at one point he mentions that the businessmen's unions are called the Chambers of Commerce.
Exactly. Right. Portland Business Association. Yeah. That's it.
All right. Well, I thought I'd expand that way.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for it. You know, that was a book I read like in middle school or high school that was required reading many years ago. Thank you.
Well, you must have been a little bit ahead of me, but I just found it, and it's an excellent citation. And I love Twain, but this guy fills more in a paragraph than Twain does in some chapters.
Yeah.
It's just biting satire, and the thing is, it's using these slogans against themselves. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Parodies of itself.
Right.
All right. I'll let you be.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. And for those of you who are interested, so here's another book. You know, I thought people read, but apparently, you know, people are discovering, again, Harry Sinclair Lewis, you know, American novelist, satirist, playwright. He became the first author from the United States to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature. The book that Wade referred to is Babbitt. And that's just one of Sinclair Lewis novels, and it was influential in the decision, his book, to grant him the Nobel Prize in Literature. So that will be your our assignment today. Recall books of novelists you may have thought of, and here in Sinclair Lewis, he writes novels about critical American capitalism and materialism, and so, you know, like Main Street, Elmer Gantry, and other novels he's written. Hey, thank you, Wade, and Go to your local library to get these books. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is April 29th. And as we mentioned, we have only a couple of days before May Day, and people are organizing throughout their communities, and it is so important for you to also organize in your community. One other thing that I wanted to mention, and we only have a few minutes, for those of you who are in Oregon, the voters' pamphlets came out this week, and they're thick. And the primary election is May 21st. Are there elections you are focusing on? Are there particular races that you are focusing on? I did notice in the voter pamphlet that, you know, there are primaries, Democrats and Republicans primary, and there's only one name on the Republican ballot for president, and that person did not submit a statement for the voter pamphlet. So if you're a Republican and you want to hear what the former president has to say, you can't read it in the voter pamphlets because he did not submit one. So I guess you have to go to his failing business where he can and read his posts to see what he thinks. But I wanted to know whether people have thought about the race that are coming up in 3 weeks or so, Election Day. There are elections, county commissioners, ballot initiatives, gas tax here in Portland, replacing Congressman Blumenau in the 3rd District, in Oregon District 5. There are candidates who won in the Democratic primary. There are a couple of candidates who are competing against one another to see who will oppose the incumbent congressman in the 5th District. And lots of things are happening. So get your voter pamphlet. The last day to register to vote is tomorrow, April 30th. Or to change your political party or affiliation for this election. So you may not be a person who think you belong to a particular party, but if you want to vote in elections, we have closed primaries in Oregon. So what you can do is you can go and change your voter registration. If you want to vote in the Republican primary, you can go and vote, register, change your registration to Republican for that one day so you can vote in the Republican primary. Same with the Democrats. If you want to vote in the Democrat primary, make a statement to the president, as other states have done, and vote uncommitted or not endorse the president. Well, in order to do that, you have to change your registration to the Democratic Party. Or you may want to change it to the Democratic Party because you want to endorse the president. Or because, as I mentioned, you want to have a say in the elections of candidates, congressional representatives in the 3rd Congressional District and the 5th Congressional District. Those are some things to think and to consider. And for those of you who are still concerned and who are still interested, there is so much more to learn and know. So I want you to stay tuned to the coming up right next is the OMO Variety Hour. There will be more conversation about the campus protests that are taking place, the solidarity, and with unions throughout the world. and the contradiction of immigrations. Lots of things are happening. It is so exciting to be with you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to share your morning with you. There's so much work to do, but I hope that you are able to take time to observe the world around you, to take care of yourself and those who you love, and to be kind not only to those you like, but especially to those you don't. It's a struggle, but it's a challenge because we are creating a new world. I'm Cecil Prescott. I thank engineer this morning for stepping in, Ender. And I thank you, our listeners, and for those who continue to support your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting live. Today is the 29th of April, 2024. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned to more programming here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the